Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. On this St. Andrew's Day, I have an image that I would like to plant firmly in your minds because of the day and because of the text that we just heard from John chapter 1. It's the image of dominoes, not the pizza, but those little tiles with the dots on them, you know, dominoes. And not just dominoes in general, but dominoes standing on end and arranged very precisely in a long line, kind of just the right distance from one another, stretching way out for a long time. Now, you've probably done that. You know, you get a bunch of dominoes, you stand them on end, and you wind them around the corner of the furniture, and then you go back to the beginning, and you push the first one over. And then it bumps into the next one, and it bumps into the next one, and it makes this neat sound. It goes... See, I did that for the sake of the new sound equipment. And if you do it right, it goes all the way from the beginning to the end. And if you use lots of dominoes, it's an impressive sight. And each domino is important, but only a very small part of something very large. Now there's a thought, a very small part of something very, very large that moves from beginning to end. Now that's not a bad way, not a bad textual way at all of thinking about St. Andrew. And by God's unexpected mercy and by his grace that really is amazing, we may also think and believe that way about ourselves, that we too are a very small part of something very, very large. That's kind of the way the Gospel of John is. You know how it begins. It's really big. I mean, it's as big as it can get. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The scope of this gospel is eternal and cosmic and complete. And then it gets bigger. Then the great event, the biggest and most important event that has ever happened since the world first was made, the Word became flesh. Not only was the Word in the beginning, but the Word became a man. He who was in the beginning made a new beginning. And that's what the first 18 verses of John 1 are all about. Something very, very, very large. And then at verse 19, the next verse in chapter 1, the process begins. And it's made up of very small, seemingly insignificant pieces. John the Baptist. He's not the Christ. He's not the prophet. He's not Elijah. He's just a voice. He himself is nothing. He's just a voice. And then, verse 29, the next day, what does John do? Look, God's Lamb who is taking away the sin of the world. Click. Then verse 35, our text begins, the next day, he bumps into two more small pieces, this time two of his own disciples, one of whom happens to be named Andrew. Look, God's Lamb. Click, click. And those two hear, and they begin to follow, and they go to where Jesus is staying, and they stay with Jesus, and they become a small part of something very large. And in verse 41 of our text, Andrew bumps into somebody that he happens to know, his brother Peter. Click. We have found the Messiah. And so it goes, verse 43, the verse after our text. And the next day, Jesus finds Philip, and click. And then on the third day, there's a wedding in Cana of Galilee. And there Jesus does his first sign that tells us who he is and what he's come to do, that tells us that he's the bridegroom and he's the host of the real celebration. And then there's another sign in John's gospel, and another sign, and another sign, and they all lead up to the greatest sign of all. God's Lamb dies, as it is written of him, and God's Lamb takes up his life again. And although Jesus did many other signs which were not written down in this gospel, John wrote these down so that the sound would continue. Click, click, click. As these pieces bump into each other, what are they actually doing? Well, it's really quite simple. Each one in turn believes that the event has happened, and they simply say what it means. They explain the meaning of Jesus. The one who was with God in the beginning has come to make a new beginning. He became flesh, he's here, and this is what it means for you. He's God's Lamb. God chose him, anointed him, Messiah'd him, Christed him. And God chose him to be a lamb. Now, today at least, you have to explain what that means, especially to suburbanite Gentiles like us. Because lambs are not there primarily to be cute and cuddly. Lambs are there to bleed and to die. And why is it that lambs have to die? They have to die because the world is a place filled with darkness and people who are born into that darkness. People who don't know where to go. People who can't find their way back to God. Sin is the problem. It separates people from God, and just look around, it separates us from one another. And for all that sin, someone has to die to make it right. Someone has to take the punishment. Someone has to be the sacrifice. Because that's how it is with a God who hates sin and who cares about right and wrong. But there is such good news in John's words. Jesus is God's Lamb for you. You and I do not have to die as the sacrifice for our own sins. Not at all. Because God made a new beginning. He sent into the world his Son, his Lamb, who loved us enough to be that for us, instead of us, in our place. Because that's how it is with God who loves the whole world. There is such good news here. It's good because it's real. The event is real and the meaning is real. The Word became flesh. Not an idea, not a whim, not a concept, not a proposal. He became a man. And on that morning, he really walked right by John the Baptizer, and John pointed to a real guy. The event was real, and nothing can change it. That's why it's good news. And he really hanged there, and it was real, and he died a real death, our death, and nothing can change that. And on the third day, there he wasn't. The tomb was empty. And he was raised to resurrection life, and he offers that life to everyone who believes. This news is so good because it's so real. Real enough to bring cleansing and forgiveness for any sin. Even for the times when we have believed that we were big and not small. Even for the times when we refused to tell the event and its meaning when we had the chance. Even for that, Jesus is God's Lamb. You know, the longer that line of dominoes is, the more impressive it is, the more joyful it is. Click, 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 bumping into each other, coming into contact, passing it on. It started at the beginning. Andrew got to be a small part of something large. And the sound has been echoing for about 2,000 years. And you can hear it in your life as well. Your parents or your pastor or your friend or your spouse told you what Jesus means. And so here you are, very dearly loved, very small parts of something very large. So I thought about it. It might make an interesting evangelism slogan or program: be a domino for Christ. Or, more provocatively, knock down somebody for Jesus. I thought that might play in the NFL. I actually toyed with the idea of asking all of you to stand up at this point and, you know, kind of line up, you know, and kind of wind around the chapel and kind of start here, maybe over close to the altar, and then we'd kind of wind around and we'd prop the door open, you know, and that was where the line would end, out there. And I thought probably Dr. Johnson should be first, and probably Bartelter Rockaman would be second. And I decided I didn't want to be next to Salmonen because he squished me like a bug. And I wondered as to who should be last in line. And I thought probably, because he's on campus now, but he won't be for long, we put Kolb at the end. And we just knock him out the door and into the mission field. Well, we won't do that. But on St. Andrew's Day, we can believe and we can rejoice that God has taught us the meaning of Jesus, God's Lamb. And we can rejoice that God has placed us in a community where, though we know it already, we can bump into each other and we can tell each other what it means that Jesus has become God's Lamb on the cross for us. And in this community, we'll not take ourselves too seriously, really, because it's been going on for a long time and it'll continue until the Lamb returns. But on St. Andrew's Day, it's just really good to know that we are a small part of something very large that began at the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end.